The following episode of K-Voice was recorded at 10:50 p.m., November 9th, 2017. Things may have changed by the time you listen to this show. Enjoy the show.
K-Voice of Resistance!
Hello. Thank you for listening to K-Voice of Resistance. That's the letter K, Voice of Resistance. I'm your host, Kelly. We are back. Watch out. The left is back in action, and we are taking our country back. Democrats won the governor's mansions in Virginia and New Jersey. They flipped a massive number of seats in the Virginia House of Delegates, and Maine voted to expand Medicaid. We won, despite, as Political reported, Twitter bots, which swarmed into the Virginia's governor race and promoted racially charged chatter about the Democrat just days before Election Day, despite voter ID, despite gerrymandering, despite. And voters elected a slew of women and minorities, along with several transgender candidates to government offices around the nation. We had first-time wins for all kinds of things. Women, transgender, gay, Black, Hispanic. It was truly a remarkable election. And women won in a few ways. First, it was women who pushed the Democratic candidate over the finish line in Virginia. According to Forbes, Northam won the female vote by 22 percentage points, up from the female vote in 2016. Women are activated. But of the 14 seats that Democrats picked up in races that had been called by the Associated Press, Democratic women were the standard bearers of 11 of them. Next year's House of Delegates will include an Asian American woman and the first Latinas. And the overall number of women serving in the 100-member body will jump up from 17 to 27, including Republicans. Two Democratic women squared off to become Seattle's next mayors to replace Ed Murray, who resigned in September amid child sex abuse allegations.
That seems to be going around these days.
Former journalist Danica Rome sought to make her bid for a Virginia House of Delegates seat about her platform issues, jobs, schools, and traffic. But her female gender identity and the background of her incumbent opponent, Robert Marshall, a socially conservative Republican who sought to limit LGBTQ rights with the famous North Carolina bathroom bill, meant that the race focused largely on the fact that Rome was a transgender woman. At one point in the campaign, Marshall approved mailers that accused Rome of wanting to teach transgenderism to kindergartners and always referred to her as him.
You know, just to be a dick.
All this and all we heard heading into the election from the media was how the Democrats hadn't won a thing since Herr Fuhrer was elected.
They haven't won a single thing.
The loser Democrats.
Don't believe everything you read or hear. That narrative was simply wrong because Google is our friend. All it took was a simple Google search and up popped this article from editor-at-large of CNN, Chris Saliza, who wrote an article in September called "Democrats have won 6 GOP-held seats in 2017, and Republicans have won 0 Democratic seats." And yet the narrative on CNN and every other outlet has been running with this "Democrats has had 0 wins." I get it. This narrative is far more interesting, but it is crap. It doesn't mean the left isn't in trouble still. No, it doesn't. Quote, "Democrats flipped 2 Republican-held legislative seats, one in Oklahoma and one in New Hampshire, that Donald Trump carried in the 2016 election," unquote. Do we think CNN paid attention to its own reporting?
Nope.
They have not all been wins, but they're not going to be. I get really tired of the narratives, especially when adherence to the narrative becomes false reporting. As Nate Silver of 538 contends, Tuesday's results shouldn't have exceeded our expectations for Democrats by all that much, because we should have had high expectations already. So, let's look at the facts in regards to how we are set up going into 2018. Donald's approval rating is only at 37.6%.
Because Donald's a loser.
Democrats led by approximately 10 points on the generic congressional ballot, which is an updating estimate of the generic ballot based on polls that ask people which party they would support in a congressional election. Republican incumbents are retiring at a rapid pace.
Bye-bye.
On Tuesday alone, there were 2 retirements from New Jersey Representative Rob Labonido, something like that, and Texas Rep. Ted Poe. Democrats are recruiting astonishing numbers of candidates for Congress. Since 2010, there had been more Republicans than Democrats filling to run for Congress in every election cycle. Democrats hold an enormous advantage in early candidate filings for the 2018 midterm elections. Yay! Number 5. Democrats have performed well overall in special elections to the U.S. Congress relative to the partisanship of those districts. They've also performed well in special elections to state legislatures.
That's right!
And finally, the opposition party almost always gains ground in midterm elections. This is one of the most durable empirical rules of American politics. Boom.
Dominating!
So we can feel good. We really can. But, you know, of course, we can't take things for granted. Oh no. We still need to work to get ourselves as far as we can go in 2018. Find a campaign and volunteer. Make phone calls, pound the pavement, host a meet and greet. Hell, clean the campaign office. But most importantly, be sure you are registered to vote. If you do nothing else, no procrastinating here. Do it now. We still have voter suppression, gerrymandering, and Russian bots, and way more to contend with. It's go time. Need I remind everyone what is at stake? Democratic candidates for the Virginia House of Delegates won more than 220,000 more votes than their Republican counterparts. Democrats won the two-party contest with Republicans by more than 9 percentage points, according to Think Progress. Nevertheless, Republicans may still maintain control of Virginia's lower house, largely due to gerrymandering.
What?
We redistrict in 2020. The seats we gain in 2018 will mean we can justly redistrict in 2020. That will affect politics for a decade. This is huge. We have to pull it together now. Especially so we can stop this crap from happening. This week in Congress. Senate has confirmed William Wearum to head the EPA's Air and Radiation Office, the number two position at the agency. According to Five Calls,
it's an activism site.
Wearum worked in the Clean Air Department for 6 years during the Bush administration, during which the agency consistently violated the Clean Air Act and allowed illegal emission levels of air pollution to occur. He was subsequently nominated to this same EPA position in 2006, but resigned when it became clear that the Senate would not confirm him due to his involvement in the harmful practices of Bush's EPA and its failure to uphold environmental law. Since leaving the EPA, Wearum has worked as a corporate attorney, surprise, surprise, representing a myriad of coal, oil, gas, and chemical companies.
Wow, he's really got them all in there, doesn't he?
As well as trade organizations, fiercely opposed to the EPA's clean air program. Now he has been confirmed to uphold and implement the very air pollution standards and the public health protections he has spent his entire career explicitly trying to tear down. During his Senate confirmation hearing, Wearum also expressed
irrational
skepticism of climate change and of climate change data, stating that he hasn't seen enough data to make his final judgment that humans have played a role. Recently, a 470-page U.S. government climate science report concluded that climate change is real and caused by humans. So, that's a win for the dark side. And it doesn't stop there.
Of course not.
On Wednesday, the Senate was treated to this.
Climate change is real. There may be different ways of dealing with it, but it's real, and we have to deal with it. It seems to me that you don't believe climate change is real.
I am uncertain.
Meet your nominee to head the Council on Environmental Quality,
who cannot answer a question about basic science.
Here's Senator Cardin and Minority Leader of the Senate Committee of Environmental Public Works.
You have a distinguished background in academics, in humanities and religion,
yes.
Which is fine. It's a wonderful field. You're not a scientist, are you?
No, I'm not a scientist, but I, in my personal capacity, I have many questions that remain unanswered by current climate policy.
Do you stand by your statement that carbon dioxide, greenhouse gases, are not dangerous at all to our environment?
As I would characterize it differently, but I would say that, as I did earlier, it's likely that CO2 emissions from human activity have some influence on the climate. But again, not to the extent. But it does. CO2 in the atmosphere has none of the characteristics of a pollutant that contaminates and fouls and all of that that has direct can have direct impact on human health as an atmospheric gas. It's a plant nutrient.
So one more last question, Mr. Chairman, and that is, you disagreed with the Supreme Court decision that said that the EPA had a responsibility because of the impact of greenhouse gases on public health. Are you now changing that, or do you still?
No, and that was styled as the Massachusetts decisions in 2007. That's the Supreme Court's ruling. That's the law of the land. You know, there's a.
But you think it was based on the wrong scientific information?
No, I thought it was based on an overly expansive reading of the definition of an air pollutant in the Clean Air Act.
This is me banging my head on the table. If confirmed to lead the Council on Environmental Quality, Kathleen Hartnett-White would be in charge of coordinating environmental policies across the entire federal government.
She's like the number one guy.
This is a very important position. During the Obama administration, the council prioritized sustainability issues and oversaw the implementation of many environmental regulations to combat climate change. You know, that thing that 99% of scientists and the whole world believes in? Climate change. This woman, Hartnett White, is a senior fellow at the Austin-based conservative think tank, Texas Public Policy Foundation. She has said that she would like to help cut as many of these regulations and refers to them as red tape. She's in favor of revising the National Environmental Policy Act, signed into law by President Richard M. Nixon in 1970, which compels federal agencies to analyze how proposals may affect the environment before they are approved. And at the Texas Policy Foundation, she helps run the group's Fueling Freedom Project. Oh God, it's really called that. Fueling Freedom Project, a campaign to deregulate the energy sector. Senator Sheldon Whitehouse was not taking any crap from her with his bemused questioning.
How much of the excess heat that has been captured by greenhouse gas emissions has been absorbed by the ocean, roughly, say, to the nearest 10%?
I don't have numbers like that. I've read about...
Even to the nearest 10%. Do you know if it's more than 50% or less than 50%?
Could you ask the question one more time?
Of the additional heat that has been captured in the atmosphere as a result of greenhouse gas emissions, do you know how much of that excess heat has been captured in the ocean? Is it more or less than 50%? Do you even know that?
No.
Okay.
But I believe there are differences of opinions on that, that there's not one right answer.
Really? Do you think there's actual serious difference of opinion whether it's below 50%?
Unless I'm mistaken, yes.
You think there is?
Yes.
Serious difference of opinion as to how much of that has been captured by the ocean. You think there's serious scientific opinion that it's below 50%?
Yes.
Okay. Wow. Do you think that if the ocean warms, it expands? Does the law of thermal expansion apply to seawater?
Again, I do not have any kind of expertise or even much layman's study of the ocean dynamics and the climate change issues.
Just enough to know that you think that there's not science that establishes clearly how much of the heat has been taken up by the oceans. You knew that, right? You said you knew that. My time's expired. I'm sorry. I hear the gavel knocking.
In fact, over 90% of the surplus heat trapped by greenhouse gases in the atmosphere since 1955 has been stored in the oceans. Ocean water, like all water, expands as it heats. The rising sea levels that accompany climate change are caused both by that phenomenon and by melting ice. Rising seas could make over 170 cities across the country uninhabitable in 20 to 80 years, and are already submerging the coastline of Florida and other places.
Silly science.
So here's the thing. The Senate Committee on Environment and Public Works has 11 Republican and 10 Democratic members. Hartnett-White could fail to receive confirmation even if a single Republican decides to vote against her. During the hearing, Republican Senator Deb Fischer from Nebraska expressed concern over Hartnett-White's lack of understanding of the Renewable Fuel Standard Program, saying, quote, "I worry about your extremist views," unquote.
What?
This is a senator from Nebraska saying she is worried about White's extremist views. Do you know how extreme you have to be too extreme for a representative from Nebraska? So, hey, if you live in Nebraska, make a phone call now. Write a letter, write an email, make a phone call, picket her office. Make sure she does something. Make her say no. Please, Nebraska, you're our only hope. And while we are talking about trying to stop bad things from happening, I have a call to action.
Call to action.
Call to action.
Call to actions.
Calls to actions.
Call to action.
Okay, guys, I haven't talked about this guy before, but we need to stop this guy. They have been confirming one outrageous judge after another, and it's time we fight back. Oppose the anti-LGBTQ Jeff Machier for federal judgeship. Donald's pick? Texas Assistant Attorney General Jeff Machier for lifelong judgeship on the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Texas. Despite being a long constitutional lawyer, Machier has repeatedly insisted that the separation of church and state should not exist. He has worked for the First Lady of Liberty Institute, a conservative legal defense foundation that often pursues cases involving disputes over religious liberties, has compared the treatment of Christians in America to that of Jewish people in Nazi Germany, calling the Obama administration totalitarian. He also has a long history of hostility towards the LGBTQ community. In 2015, he described transgender children as Satan's plan, as he likened same-sex marriage and polyamory to people marrying their pets. Machier is also an active proponent of conversion therapy for LGBTQ individuals, despite extensive evidence that this therapy is ineffective at best and dangerous at worst. Donald's nomination of Machier to lifetime judgeship is an attack on both the separation of church and state and LGBTQ people,
who remain vulnerable to abuse and discrimination.
Machier is an anti-civil rights, anti-First Amendment judge who has admitted outright to discriminating on the basis of sexual orientation. Donald has already withdrawn a directive allowing transgender students to use the bathrooms of their choice and banned transgender military recruits. Appointing Machier to this judgeship would further undermine the rights and protections that LGBTQ people and their families and allies have fought so hard and for so many years to secure. Call your senator. The number for the switchboard is 202-225-3121. That's 202-225-3121. So here's something that happened. I'll lay out the case for you with the pithy humor of Above the Law. Jefferson Beauregard Sessions and his Department of Justice, once lawyers of the ACLU, punished for doing their job. Here are the undisputed facts of a Jane Doe case that Jefferson Beauregard Sessions thinks requires sanctions against the lawyers involved. A human woman living at a refugee center needed a medical treatment. The federal government tried to deny her her medical treatment by literally refusing to let her leave the center. The ACLU sued on behalf of the woman, the human woman, arguing that she could not be denied medical treatment. A federal judge agreed with the ACLU. The woman left and received medical treatment, paid for by private citizens. The federal government appealed the case to the Supreme Court. If you do not see where sanctions are required, it's because you are smart. If you do not see where sanctions are required, even after I tell you that this medical treatment was an abortion, it's because you are not a zealous theocrat clothed in the power and authority of a secular government. Despite the federal government's attempt to imprison a woman like a goddamn broodmother, Jane Doe was able to terminate her unwanted pregnancy in time. I wouldn't put it past Jefferson Beauregard Sessions to argue that he should be allowed to re-impregnate the young woman to restore God's intended order to the world or something, but he's simply asking the Supreme Court to punish the ACLU lawyers who helped Jane Doe access her basic human rights to her own body. Sessions is angry because Jane Doe got an abortion before his office filed its emergency appeal with the Supreme Court. This is from the LA Times. On Friday, new Solicitor General Noel Francisco filed an appeal that asked the Supreme Court to set aside the lower court's rulings and to consider disciplinary action against the ACLU.
Unquote. If that's not an overreach and waste of taxpayer money, I don't know what is.
Grab him by the pussy.
Tonight, Moore, the Republican Senate nominee, stands accused of one of the most serious sex crimes, sexual contact with a minor. As a politician, Moore has argued consensual sex between adults of the same gender should be illegal.
I need to say something about this Roy Moore situation. And we all know the story by now, I'm sure, so I won't recap it. The GOP can suck it, okay? Republican after Republican half-heartedly expressing dismay at Roy Moore's action with young girls and an underage girl. Man after man made a point to say, if the accusations prove true.
Oh, come on, party of family values. What more evidence do you need?
Did you have to be there? Did you need a camera? Does it have to be your daughter? Try believing the woman for once. Senator John McCain was the only one to not qualify this statement with an if-then. He came right out and said, quote, The allegations against Roy Moore are deeply disturbing and disqualifying. He should immediately step aside and allow the people of Alabama to elect a candidate they can be proud of. Unquote. The thing is, Alabama is proud of Roy Moore, and they are standing by him in the worst way possible. Quote, "He's clean as a hound's tooth," Alabama State Auditor Jim Ziegler said in an interview with the Washington Examiner before invoking the Bible to defend Moore. He said, quote, "Zechariah and Elizabeth, for instance. Zechariah was extremely old to marry Elizabeth, and they became the parents of John the Baptist. Also, take Joseph and Mary. Mary was a teenager, and Joseph was an adult carpenter. They became parents of Jesus." Unquote. And just so everyone is clear about how all of your friends and neighbors and your crazy uncle are ingesting this news about Roy Moore, here's how the media is treating it. From Fox News to Alex Jones.
They will be talking about how there are all these women coming forward. No, there's one. There is one allegation of a woman. I mean, yes, he dated girls who were 17, 19 when he was 30. We might find that a little creepy today, but this was nearly 50 years ago. And who knows? I'd like to see his response is. But you can't help thinking about the timing here, Laura.
David, you're defending Roy Moore in this situation?
Well, look, the timing of these allegations 1 month before the election makes them highly suspect. I mean, let me get this straight. These acts allegedly took place in 1979, and her first disclosure is 38 years later, not to law enforcement, but to a newspaper that has endorsed Roy Moore's opponent and is hell-bent on taking him down. I'm sorry, the credibility is completely zero. Mr. Trump, President Trump went through the same thing during the election.
This goes back to what you said. Do people do it for money? Do they do it for political reasons? How come? Sure. Is that more common than people would think?
Oh, definitely. I mean, they'll do this for
they will lie to make money.
Well, undoubtedly. I mean, there are individuals that will come forward with these outrageous allegations. And
that hurts all women that are victims.
Yes. I mean, and that's why I used to work in sex crimes in the DA's office. It was very pitiful to see that because some jurors don't believe it because they've in their own lives, there are people that have made these accusations for money. You see this time and time and time again.
I don't know whether or not what the Washington Post is reporting 38 years ago, up to 40 years ago, with Roy Moore is true. I don't know. And I don't think anybody knows, except the people that are involved and the people that make allegations.
Moore, 30 plus years ago, told young women they were pretty. Harvey Weinstein raping all these women, all this stuff. Kevin Spacey, that's all okay. Roy Moore, 30 plus years ago, told women, some of them who might have been under 18, they were pretty.
You've taken this many years to remember how upset you used to be. That is not good enough. You are disappointing as a woman.
And they ask why it takes victims so long to come forward.
In one of the more tragic passages in this very painful article on the Washington Post today, Lee Korfman explained why she felt that she had done something wrong with Roy Moore when she was 14 and why she kept it secret for years. "I felt responsible," she says. "I felt like I had done something bad, and it kind of set the course for me doing other things that were bad." She says that her teenage life became increasingly reckless with drinking, drugs, boyfriends, and a suicide attempt when she was 16. We have not heard one word from Roy Moore.
That was Lawrence O'Donnell.
The country is watching how Republicans respond here. He is their candidate, and the way they proceed will be remembered. Women and men across the country who have been victims before are watching and waiting. Women and men who have known victims are watching. And all those with a solid moral compass and with the powers of reason are watching and waiting. And Roy Moore, you sick animal, may you be the albatross around the neck of the Republican Party.
Well, a literal horde of illegal immigrants stormed Capitol Hill today. Hundreds of illegal immigrants and their supporters assembled in the Hart Senate office building, very close to right here, chanting slogans in an effort to pressure Congress to disallow the deportation of people here illegally. Now, protesting inside the Hart building is against the law. Many of the protesters were students cutting school. And, of course, an illegal immigrant participating in an illegal protest inside the U.S. is illegal on about 8 different levels. Nevertheless, only 15 arrests were made, and it seems unlikely anybody will be deported over this or ever for any reason, because we don't deport people in America.
I was stunned but not surprised when President Trump indicated that he was going to end a DACA program. This is about the lives of 800,000 young men and women in this country that have been brought up and raised here, that are part of the fabric of our community. They're students, they're workers, they're sons and daughters and brothers and sisters, and they're Americans. And what you have at the moment is a government, not a country, but a government that is telling them that somehow, for some reason, that they don't count, that they're going to have to go back to a country that most of them have never known or barely known. We need to make sure that the Clean Dream Act is passed by December. And the only way we can do that is if people around this country, not just an immigrant community, but all of us, raise our voices up.
Dreamers, immigrant youth, and allies took to the halls of Congress on Thursday morning with a simple demand. We will not be silenced, and we want results. Think Progress reports, quote, on Thursday morning, protesters gathered in the atrium of the Hart Senate office building, silently at first, glancing up at level upon level of protesters who made their way to every floor, patiently waiting for the go-ahead from organizers. At exactly 11:30 a.m., the room suddenly erupted into an overwhelming, boisterous chant of undocumented, unafraid, as activists unfurled large banners into a chamber demanding a DREAM Act, denouncing deportation and bringing forward the December deadline. The building was packed with protesters. Joining them were students participating in a mass walkout from 9 Washington area schools, including universities, as well as hundreds of youth from across the country in what United We Dream said was part of a nationwide campaign in solidarity with dreamers. After about 10 minutes of chanting in the building, a signal came to a stop. Lest risk arrest due to the strict Capitol rules against disruptive protest. In a pre-planned act of civil disobedience, a small number of protesters kept chanting around the banner before being detained by Capitol Police. Rallygoers later announced their names via megaphone, praising them as heroes. Unquote. It has been more than 2 months since Donald's administration decided to cut off the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals DACA program. The Dreamers have officially delivered the deadline for a solution to policymakers this Christmas. What they are asking for is a clean form of the DREAM Act without amendments, which might make its recipients vulnerable to a sudden deportation or render them little more than bargaining chips for politicians with ulterior motives. Tell your senator to protect dreamers and pass a clean DREAM Act now. By canceling DACA, Donald has put 800,000 young people at risk of losing their jobs and being deported from the only country they have ever known. This is beyond heartbreaking. It is cruel. Passing the bipartisan DREAM Act would protect them. We need to go to the mat for this, and Democrats sure as hell better shut down that government without it. We have the power in Congress. We hold all the cards. They need us to pass a budget. And if we are not going to go to the mat for 800,000 young people, then what is worth going to the mat for? We need to fight, and they're worth fighting for. Tell your senator. Thank you for listening to my show. You can find my show on crabdiving.com, that's crabdiving.com, under the K-Voice tab, or download my show as a podcast, wherever it is you get your podcast. Follow me on Twitter at KellyTheVoice, and on Facebook at K-Voice of Resistance. Okay, thank you. Take care of yourselves out there. And as always, resist.
On this show, Ari Melber introduced the Judge Roy Moore section. Tucker Carlson of Fox News started the DACA section, followed by Jill Kennedy in the House of Representatives.
Reason!